Shavuos Per Gimel Mishnah Ches 3:8. Now we transition to the second of the four categories of Shavuos that a person can administer outside of a bezin, that can volunteer to do it. Again, we had Shavuos Abitui, that was the first of the four, an oath of utterance I translated it as, based on the art score really, which is that a person swears that he will or won't do something, or that something did or didn't happen. Now we go on to the Shavuos Shav, oaths in vain. Oaths in vain, again, there are four kind of subcategories of these vain oaths. They are either swearing about something which is obviously true, swearing about something which is obviously false, swearing about something which is impossible, and swearing about something which is against the Torah. Those are the four categories. The Mishnah will give examples of that in a moment. The important thing to remember here is, like I said before in the previous Mishnah, that if one violates Shavuos Shav b'shogeg, then there's no korban to bring. The basis, the Isser of Shavuos Shav, is different than the basis of the Shavuos Habitui. The Shavuos Habitui pasuk, the primary pasuk, is there in Perek Hay of Vayikra. We're talking about the Olav Yored Korban. And also, if a person commits to do something, there's a separate love of Lo Yachal Devaro, not to profane one's name. But the prohibition of Shavuos Shav is from the Aseres HaDibros, Ten Commandments, back there in Yisro, and again in Mizchanan, which says, Lo Sisa Eshem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav, you may not take God's name in vain. There are those who learn that this has, in addition to the prohibition of taking a false, an oath in vain, like a shvua in vain, it also refers to just simply invoking Hashem's name for no good reason. But in addition, whether or not that also included here, it includes to limit or proscribe taking an oath in vain. Exactly what one needs to do to be over the Doraisa is a discussion. Does one need to mention specifically Hashem's name? The Rambam says not necessarily. You could invoke even like a kinoi. You could swear in the name of the Merciful One or any other reference to God. Certainly in a foreign language, it would certainly be a shavuos shav. And there's really possibilities that there's no need to actually invoke Hashem explicitly at all. In fact, we'll even say if you just say amen, in fact, to someone else's shavuah, that will be binding. And a shavuos shav in the case that it is indeed an oath in vain. Here are some examples, says the Mishnah. Ezu shvuah shav, what constitutes an oath in vain? Nishba lishanos es hayadu l'adam. If a person swears about something which is just contravenes what people know, the din is you have to have three people know this fact, three regular people, and then that would make it be like a known thing, in which case you're talking about shvuah shav, no point in swearing about it. So therefore, if, for example, a person says, Amar al ha'amud shel evan shu shel zahav, if you have a pillar that's a stone pillar, and a person swears that it's not a stone pillar, rather it's a gold pillar, since that's so obviously patently false, that's a shvuah shav. Val ishu isha, and similarly says the Mishnah, if you swear about a woman being a man or man being a woman, again, patently false, and therefore would be shvuah shav, no reason to make the shvuah, so it's a shvuah shav, liable to malchus if one does it on purpose, on the spot. Nishba al davar she'ief shar, similarly, category two of the four of the shvuah shav is when you swear out something which is like impossible to be true. For example, im lo re'isi gamal shaparech ba'avir, you swear something is true, you say, you know what, I swear, in context, since there's just the way this Mishnah is constructed, you basically swear not that you saw a camel floating through the air, but you say basically take a shvuah, you say, I swear I'll never eat oranges again if it's not true that I didn't see a camel floating through the air. The point is, camels don't float through the air, and therefore the shvuah shav. You swear that the characteristics of a snake really were like some particular wooden timber used in an olive press. Bartanur speaks out based on the Gemara. We're not talking about like the thickness of the snake or the length of the snake, which could be, in fact, as long or as thick as wood used in an olive press. But there's like the characteristics of like the called the texture of the wood, which a snake can't be. The point is it's a false oath, and therefore it's patently false, and therefore it's a shvuah shav, an oath in vain. Now, the next case is going to be swearing about something which is against the Torah. Now, the example given here is a little could be misunderstood. The case is, I'll say it outside first, Reuven says to Shimon and Levi, you guys saw me take that loan, you guys saw me pay it back. I need you to come testify in court because the guy who I borrowed the money from is claiming I have to pay him back, like I'll call it a second time. And these two guys say, like, yes, we were there, but you know what? We just don't feel like it. We don't have to swear on your behalf. We don't have to. The point is, they swear they don't have to testify, when in fact the halacha is they do have to testify. They're required to by Torah law. So this is in contrast to where they were swearing, we don't know the facts. We can't testify. We swear we don't know. We weren't there. That suppression of testimony, swearing that one doesn't have testimony when he really does, is called Shvuos Eidos, the topic of the next perek. Over here, we're talking about where they don't dispute they have the facts. They just swear they don't have to testify, which is really the same as swearing they don't have to eat matzah on Pesach and the like. Okay? So, inside it says, Amar le'edim bo'o ve'iduni. Reuven says to Shimon and Levi, come testify on my behalf. And they say back to him, Shvuos lo ne'idach. We swear we don't have to testify for you. When they do, the Torah says they do. Similarly, nishba levatel es a mitzvah, if they swear to annul any kind of mitzvah. For example, shlo la'asos sukkah, they're not going to dwell in a sukkah on sukkahs. It does say la'asos, which sounds like to make a sukkah. Technically, making a sukkah is not a mitzvah. It's a hechsher. It's a preparation for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is living in the sukkah. So the bittul would be swearing that one's not going to like participate in the mitzvah sukkah, not in building per se, but rather in living, eating, sleeping in the sukkah. Vishlo lito lulav. Same goes if a person swears he's not going to shake a lulav on sukkahs. Torah says he is, therefore it's a shvuah shav. Vishlo lahaniach tefillin. A person who swears he's not going to put on tefillin today. There's a mitzvah to put on tefillin every day. When he fails to put on tefillin, is mivat mutzase. So taking a shvuah that you won't isn't really not binding. It's just shvuah shav. Zuhi shvuos shav shachayavin al zdon amakos val shigasa pater. These are the kind of shvuahs we're talking about that are oaths in vain because you're swearing on something which is obviously true or obviously false. Impossible or otherwise against the Torah. So those things, if you do it on purpose, you get malchus. If you do it on accident, then pater, you have no korban whatsoever to bring.